Mom and Daddy would put up a tree.
Yeah.
And wasn't no electric lights. It was little candles that you step on each branch.
Sorry, I just hit record. So we're asking you about your Thanksgiving, and you're going to tell us about a story. So
okay.
Can you start again?
Right. So Christmas. So she said she's going to tell us about Christmas.
Okay, start.
Okay. Well, how do I start?
Just where you started just now. So
okay.
You said your mom would put a tree.
Don't remember too much about Thanksgiving, but Christmas time, I was probably 12, 13 years old, or maybe younger. And Mom and Daddy would put up a green tree. Don't know where they found it, but it was a green cedar tree. And she would put little candle holders for our lights. And Christmas Eve night, she would light every one of those candles. And we'd say a prayer and thank God for things. And then we would have to blow the candles out because it could catch on fire, you know.
Yeah, I was wondering.
Yeah. And then our decorations were popcorn, and Mom and Daddy would buy fruit instead of balls on the tree. Mom and Daddy would put a string and fix it where she'd put oranges and bananas on the tree. And of course, we opened our gifts and everything. We all got a gift. My first gift that I remember is a doll that my mother made. And that was my first doll. My brother that's next to me, his first was a wooden truck. Mm-hmm. And we were real proud of that. I mean, we thought we was in, you know, seven heaven to get that. But as I grew older and I was able to do things, we had a different Thanksgiving and Christmas because I was older to help my mom and dad about organizing things, you know. But Christmas Eve, as far back as I can remember, we'd go to my grandma, Grandma Carlick's. She lived in town in Penelope. Church was just right across the street from her. And I had one girl cousin on my mama's side and three boys on my mama's side. And we would stay up all night. We'd go to midnight mass, and we'd come back and we'd eat. Grandma would have all kind of stuff to eat. And by that time, it was daylight, and we went to church again, to the mass. And then Christmas Day, it was just playing games outside. We would play ball. We would just have a good time, that many of us. And we entertained ourselves. You know, there wasn't no any kind of games or electronic things. It was just get outside and play with whatever you had, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And that went on till, of course, after I graduated high school. It was all different, you know. You got older and we bought gifts from the town, as we called it, you know. And another thing that I can remember the best, at Thanksgiving and Christmas, we had bought bread.
Huh.
Bought bread.
Bought bread. And we thought that was the highlight of our life because Mom and Daddy bought a loaf of bread, you know, because Mama made all our bread and biscuits and stuff, you know. And that was one thing that I remember on Thanksgiving and Christmas, she would buy a loaf and put it on the table.
And that was a real treat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So my childhood was a very interesting being on the farm. Yeah. And sometimes I sit there and think about it, and I think, you know, that wasn't such a bad life at all. I mean, no. We didn't have...
It was a hard life in a certain way, but it was a good life also, you know.
We didn't have a radio or a TV, neither one. And finally, Daddy got a radio, but the only time that was turned on was a bedroom radio, and he was listening to Joe Louis the Boxer, you know, boxing.
Oh, yeah.
But he'd listen to it, and as soon as it's over with, we didn't get to listen to it, you know. And The only time I remember him turning the radio on is when Pearl Harbor was bombed.
Oh,
and
yes.
It came on the radio that it had been bombed, and of course we weren't educated enough to know that, you know, this was a big thing, you know. Living on the farm, I'm sure a lot of things went on, like murder and everything else, but living on the farm, you didn't have all, you didn't know about none of those things, you know. And it was...
Well, you didn't have access to the information at all that was available for the city, so-called city folk.
That's right. I mean,
that had
we'd
the
go
radio
to...
there. And did you have a radio?
Mm-mm.
Well, when I was growing up, we always had a radio. And even out there on the farm where my grandparents lived, they later on were able to get... and I can remember the time when it happened. It was when FDR, old Roosevelt, brought in Rural Electrical Administration. That led the farm people finally get electricity for everything. And I remember, my grandmother was so happy. She got an electric refrigerator because they finally got their house with electricity in it, and there she had her own refrigerator.
When was that?
And before that, she had used an ice box,
mm-hmm.
and it was just a wooden piece of furniture like a cabinet, and at the bottom of that was a place that was sort of covered with tin or something down there. You could put your ice in, and you had to go into town to buy the ice and bring it back to the farm and put it under there in that one spot, and that would keep their vegetables and things fresh for quite a while, really. So my grandfather had to go in to get ice probably at least twice a week, though, about that. And that would work out real well.
Oh, it did.
That was not my experience, but that was was there with my grandparents. I learned all that. I grew up in the living in town, so we had all the conveniences that you'd have today. Well, not quite. We didn't have television. But we did have the radio, and we had... We listened to some of the famous radio programs
Amos
at that time.
Amos and Andy.
I was going to say, Amos and Andy, you remember that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, and...
Jack Benny was on.
Yeah,
Jack Benny was funny. He was so funny, yeah. who were some of the real... I can't remember all those funny... They had some I guess you'd call them comedians.
That had
a radio. Jack Benny was the one that I remember most, though, and we listened religiously to Jack Benny. We wouldn't miss Jack Benny because he was so funny. Yeah, and we thought that was the greatest.
We didn't have a radio till I was probably 13, 14 years old. Like I said, Daddy got him a battery radio. But the only time we used it is when he listened to his boxing, which was Joe Louis and all them, you know.
What age did you get yours, Nana?
What's that?
When did you get yours?
Oh, we had a radio from the very beginning. My earliest remembered, we had a radio.
Okay.
But I lived in town, and we lived in town, and it was just sort of a little... It was sat on a table, and it was just like a little box, probably about 12 or 15 inches across, and maybe 6 inches tall. And that was our radio, and we all sat around that to listen to the wonderful programs, the radio programs that were presented then. And the one, I don't know why I remember this, but Jack Benny was
funniest. Jack Benny, and like I said, Amos and Andy.
Amos and Andy was another very famous group. They were so funny.
What did they talk about?
Just comedians. They would...
Telling jokes and
to
talking
each other.
Like we were talking now, but they were funny and they're talking, to each other.
There was stories that they have, the gossiping stories, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I can't remember their women that would have it. at all. I don't know who the women were.
Well, you know, it was a funny thing. There were no women having their own radio programs. They had some of those, like Amos and Andy, might have a woman on them. But they didn't have their own radio shows at all. That came later, before that happened, yeah.
Talking about the icebox, we had Daddy built one.
Oh, he built one.
He built one, and it was wood, and then inside he put that aluminum around.
Uh-huh.
Every Sunday after church, we'd get a block of ice, bring it home, and that's we had ice cream. And of course, you did the cranking ice cream, you know. And we'd fight over who was going to crank it, you know. And other one, if I was cranking, brother would sit down on it, you know. On the,
yeah, so one of the kids had to sit on it, and the other one had to crank it.
Yeah.
And it made the best ice cream you ever heard of.
Yeah, it was such a good ice cream.
Do you also remember the taste?
Huh?
You still remember
well,
the taste?
I think that we
whatever
were...
Whatever fruit was in, like peach.
Yeah.
You know, it's a funny thing. Yeah, you lived in one part of Texas, and I lived in another part of Texas, but the fact is we all did this adversity.
The same thing.
Yep. We did the same thing. Lived pretty much the same life.
The only thing was we didn't have electricity at all.
Yeah.
When I left the farm, they still didn't have it.
I know.
I was almost 19. I graduated in June, and the following February I was 19.
Yeah.
And so we
did. Is that when you got married, or where did you go?
Oh, no, I went to Waco, worked.
Okay.
And my first job was working in a fruit cake place.
Uh-huh.
And I swore I'd never eat fruit cake rest of my life.
Well, you know, Waco had a famous bakery there. What was the name of that bakery that made fruit cake?
Where I worked.
That's where you worked.
Yeah.
Well, I know one time I was driving back from Austin all the way back up here, and we went through Waco, and I can't remember who was in the car with us, but they knew about this good place in Waco that had fruit cake, and they wanted to stop and get a slice of fruit cake or fruit cake, whatever we could get. And I remember stopping and getting, and then the fruit cake, which I don't like, was really good though.
Well, you know, after I worked there and I seen what was put in the big thing for the fruit and everything, I said, never will I eat a fruit cake again, you know. But I started eating it again, you know. But that was my first job to work in Waco, you know. And like I said, I was making, I think, $25 a week.
Yeah.
That was a lot of money, you know. I mean, boy, in fact, there was no buses or anything. I rode the train from Waco to Mount Calm, and then my mom and dad picked me up about 4 or 5 miles, you know. And then they had a electric streetcar. And I would ride that streetcar from Waco to West.
Oh, wow.
And come home, and mom and daddy would meet me there, you know, when I'd get there. And then they'd take me back to go back on that. There wasn't such a thing as buses, you know, that could take you anywhere. And the streetcar ran from Waco to Dallas. Dallas to Waco. That's as far as it would go, just back and forth. And
do you by any chance remember, Cody, when I took you and Connor on a little streetcar drive? Do you happen to, you were quite young, so you may
what
not remember
city was
it.
This? What city was it in?
This had to have been in, where did you live then? San Marcos. It had to be in San Marcos, and it went from Waco to San Marcos, and it.
No.
And we took that trip. We made the trip, and you can't remember.
No,
that.
I don't remember that.
Well, you all were pretty young,
no.
I'll tell you. And we made that trip.
Yeah, they were young in San Marcos.
Uh-huh.
Well,
it went to San Marcos, and this little street. It wasn't really a train, but it was like a train, you know.
Well, it was one big car.
One big car.
And everybody sat there in that car, and it had a hook on top where that was running.
Exactly.
You know, the wires were running.
Where, that's where the electricity came down into the tank. It was run by electricity.
Yeah, that's
it what wasn't I'm a gasoline motor or anything. It was electric. And of course, you had to have that line right going along the tracks.
They
there.
Did have it. They did have it. Uh-huh. And it had certain tracks that's only thing ran on those tracks was those streetcars.
Uh-huh.
And I'd go from Waco and West and Hillsboro, and I can, anyway, you could go as far as Dallas. I don't know what part of Dallas, you know. You
we did, that's exactly what we did. Connor, Cody and Connor, I was there and I took them up there. We got on that, went into Dallas, and then went back again. But you probably are too young to remember.
Yeah, I don't remember it.
So when was
But
when
at the time, you boys really liked it, I tell you. Had a
when
great
was your
time.
First car then?
My first car? Oh my goodness, I was probably 21, 22 years, and I bought it myself. My
wow.
parents didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I was paying $22 a month on it, and it was a 19, oh God, it was a Chevrolet, you know. And it ran, you know, I finally made it back and forth with the car. And but I didn't leave the farm till I was, like I said, almost 19 years old. I would help pick cotton, pull corn, whatever had to be done, the maize, cutting the maize and everything. And I want to tell a story, but I don't know whether you want to listen to it.
We do.
Whenever our thanks to be our, and we didn't have to do any chores in the morning because we went to school. But at night we had to do our chores. We had to milk the cows and feed everything because we had a little time. And my brother, as I say, the one that just passed away, we'd be milking a cow, and he would take the tits and just go right at me or back and forth. And I'd be screaming, you know, for mom and daddy come help me. Nobody would come help me. He thought that was the funniest thing that he ever did in his life, you know. And but we had good times on the farm. We really did. It was just something that, well, that's all I knew. I did not know. We went to Waco once a year, and that's to buy
shopping,
our clothes.
Shopping?
Yep. We got one pair of shoes and a couple of blue jeans. Mother made the shirts. She didn't make the blue jeans.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, I had to wear a dress. I mean, I wore a dress, period. And I had to wear big old brown stockings. And so when I was getting older, I didn't want people to see me in the, especially the boys, I didn't want them to see me in their brown stockings. So I would put a pair of socks in my bag, that, you know, my book thing. And when I get to school, I'd run in the restroom and pull these old brown stockings off, put on me some socks. And when it's time to go home, I'd have to draw them back over there because my mom and daddy would have really, you know, they just wasn't on. Them brown socks is what I had to wear. So I got ready to go home. I'd run the restroom and put them brown socks back on and go back home.
Oh, God.
My daddy was real strict with me. I didn't get to date till I was almost 18 years old.
That is strict.
Oh. And then I got to go on dates if my brother had a date. If my brother had a date, then I could go on a date. Otherwise, he was real strict on me.
Was that, what was it like for you, Nana?
Yeah, not really, you know. Cool. I, when she was talking about dating, it reminded me of my first date was when I was 16. I remember that. Was yours earlier than that?
Oh, no, I was nearly 18 years old before I got to date.
Oh, well, no, I got to go out the first time when I was 16. And I went out with a boy that had asked me out before, but I just told him I couldn't go. And so our date in those days was to go out on Friday night, and what you did was you went to the movie on Friday night, and that was what everybody did for their dating at that time. Of course, I guess when they got a little older, when they got a car, there might have been more to it than that, but at that time it was just, that was the idea of a good date, was to go to a was to go to the movie that Friday night. Back then, we had the movies. We had Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. Those were the only nights that we had movies to go to at the theater there. So anyway, that was our ideal. And of course, we couldn't go out to eat because the boys never had enough money to take us out to eat. I remember the first time I got something to drink, that my future husband, Bill, took me to an ice cream place, and I got I got my first chocolate malt, and I thought that was the most delicious thing I ever ate.
After the ice cream that you all made, right?
That I was about, when I started dating, I was about 16, but I didn't really, I was 17 when, I was 17 when Bill, my future husband, we were in high school. He was a senior and I was a junior. And it so happened we were in a class together. And one day about during the week, it had to be about on Wednesday or so, he stopped me in the hall and he said, "I sure would like to take you to a movie Friday night. Would you go with me?" And I said, "Well, yes, that sounds pretty nice." So that's essentially when we got started, my future husband. And I was about, I guess I couldn't have been more than, I graduated when I was 17, so I must have been 16, and he was 17 because he was a senior.
I'll be done.
Yeah. And then he went off to college, and after he graduated, and he worked that summer before he, before he went to college, he worked at the movie theater, and I think he was a guy that took the tickets. You know, as you bought tickets at a little ticket office there, and then you took it in, and they had an usher or something that took your ticket, and let you go on in, that you had bought your ticket and you were, could see the movie then. But that was my first experience with going out with him. And it's a kind of funny that I married him, because I did date other people along the way. But it turned out that he was the one that, when we, by the time we got to college, he went off to Rice and I went off to the University of Texas. And we used to, we couldn't afford the telephone, so we just wrote letters to each other. And the post office was pretty good. If you got a letter in on a Monday, usually they got it on a Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay.
So it wasn't bad
at
all.
Bad.
So we did that, I know, for those years. And
do you still have those letters?
I did for so many years, and I was looking for those. I think in that last move that I made, I think I must have decided, well, I don't really want to keep these. So unless the girls have found them, they're in that house that I left before I came here. I had a whole slew of letters, and I had wrapped up, and all those years that he was away at college and I was away at college, different colleges, so we wrote back and forth. We couldn't afford a telephone call. We wrote letters.
My routine was every Friday night we'd go roller skating in school. And that was from like 7 o'clock, but 9 o'clock you had to be home, you know. And usually Mom or Daddy'd pick me up. I mean, I wasn't allowed to go with anybody, you know. Mom and Daddy would be there, or one of them did, you know. And but we had entertainment like the roller skating,
everybody got to go,
and we'd play basketball in the gym, you know. That was part of our entertainment, or a volleyball in the because we didn't have a movie theater in Penelope
that you could go to on the weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what we would have done without our movie theater, because they had they always changed the movies so that you got to see different movies, you know, during the week. They didn't even have that open during the week there, but they opened it up on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and we got to see movies then at that time.
Well, where did you go for dates then, Granny?
Huh?
Where did you go for your dates?
Well, like I said, I didn't start dating until I was 100 years old. But anyway, we went to dances.
Yeah.
We had country dancing. We had a big hall. And my brother had to go with me. But when we got to the dance, he went one way and I went the other and got ready.
He found his girlfriend and you found your boyfriend.
And
right.
So then we'd meet and go home. And Mom and Daddy never did know that that's what we were doing, you know. But
Where did they think you were?
Well, they knew we were at the dance.
Okay.
But they didn't know that we split and, you know, he had a girlfriend and I had a boyfriend, you know. But that was every Saturday night. But I'll tell you one thing, no matter what time we come in, we had to go to church Sunday morning, you know. I mean, Daddy'd be knocking on the door, get up, kids, and we're going to church. And we had to get up, you know. That was one thing my parents did. We went to church every Sunday, you know, the whole family.
Yeah.
In fact, mine goes back, we went to church in a wagon.
Oh,
we did not have a car.
So you use your wagon with pulled by mules or other horses?
Yeah, by mules. Uh-huh. And Daddy fixed like a protector, you know, from us not getting wet or anything.
Oh, sure, you had a cover over that wagon.
But that went on till I was about 7 years old, and then my dad finally bought a Model A. We thought we were in seven heaven. I'm telling you, we was trucking down them roads with that Model A, you know. And then, like I said, we still stayed on the farm nearly the same way we did, except we grew up, you know. And, I mean, it was just one of those things that you live on a farm, not like you in the city. Yeah. I didn't even know half of the things that went on, you know?
Yeah. Well, one of the really fun things was listening to the radio back in those days. We didn't have television. So the idea, there were certain programs that we would not miss, you know. We just had to hear. And they were usually the comedy. Oh, I know one on Sunday. And you may remember this, Wilma. Did you ever listen to One Man's Family?
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the most popular programs.
And what about that lady that baked all the time?
What was that?
What about that lady that did all the baking?
What was her name?
I mean, she...
Oh, she was so funny, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember her name.
I can't
either.
Remember her name either, but we listened to her all the time.
I remember.
One Man's Family was our favorite program, without a doubt, on Sunday night, to get to listen to that. And it was about this man, and they lived in San Francisco. That made it so romantic. Oh. San Francisco, wow. So this was a story about San Francisco, you know, and the family that lived there. And I remember that, how much we would not miss that program. We would, no matter what we were doing. We would turn it on and listen to One Man's Family.
Yeah, we did too, but we didn't have a radio that early in the life. I mean, you know, like I said, Daddy got a battery radio, but
you didn't have electricity on the farm at that time.
No electricity. We had we studied and went through my whole elementary school and high school with a lantern. You'd light that lantern, and you would, put it up high, and we studied by that at a big old dining room table, you know. And we'd fight, we'd throw things at each other, and when Mama wasn't looking, you know, throw pencils and things like that. And I went to school all the way to high school without any convenience at all. I had to ride a bus. I had to walk about probably almost a mile to the bus.
Oh, yeah.
through the fields, that we had a trail through the fields that we would walk and ride the bus. Like I said, now, when it rained, it was dirt roads. So when it rained, we stayed with my Grandma Carlick in Penelope, because we could, otherwise we wouldn't get to school, you know. And it was, I was in the 10th grade and I was failing, and the school burned down.
Oh my God.
So whenever we rebuilt the school, there was no records. So we went by what everybody said, whatever. That's the only way I graduated. I would have never graduated. Otherwise, no, I wouldn't have. Because I didn't care for school. It was not the thing I wanted to do. But it was just so amazing that it burned down in my 10th grade, you know. And they rebuilt New Penelope School. And so I remember when the typewriters first came out.
Yeah.
Well, that was just something that we thought the world was. I mean, we just, you know, you pack on this, you know, like this, you know, packing. And I think I was already a senior when they came out, you know, but it was one of them old ones that you use, yeah, you know. And
did you use that in college, Nana?
Oh, yes, I remember about when the typewriters came in. I learned, I took they even had a course in high school called typing, and they had all these typewriters there where I went to school in Arlington, at the Arlington High School. And you, virtually everybody had to take typing because you were expected to know how to type, you know, do typing, how to do that. That was one of the things that was necessary, just like nowadays, what would be necessary now for a person to have to do?
Yeah.
A computer. Yeah, yeah, you have to learn how to use a computer. Oh, yeah. Well, we had that same situation with a typewriter. Everybody took typing. And so then, and I don't know, after I graduated, of course, I went to the junior college there here in Arlington for 2 years. It later became a four-year college, part of the University of Texas, but then it was just an independent, well, it wasn't independent, it was part of the A&M system. And I went to college there for 2 years. And then after that, I left, I went down to the University of Texas, and Bill, my future husband, was going to Rice at that time. And when I told you, we used to write letters, and you know, if you got a letter in the mail on a Monday, they would get it on a Wednesday. And
well,
we wrote back and forth. Like I said, I used to have a lot of those, but I don't know what's happened to them. I saved them all at one time, but I think they're long since gone.
Well, we had in Penelope, when I was, like I said, probably junior in high school, that was a big town. We had a hotel, we had a post office, and we had two or three grocery stores. It was just one street, though. You know, everything's built on one street.
On Main Street.
On Main Street. And we used to, on Halloween night was our night for the young people. We used to pick up everybody's outhouse and set it on their front porch.
That was the thing that boys loved to do.
That is what we did for our Halloween entertainment. And of course, next day, boy, them old people would really get mad at us, you know. And but that was our entertainment. And then on April Fool's Day, and don't ask me why, but that's the day we all decided not to go to school. And we come home and we got to spank it. We got to whip it. We got to whip him because we didn't go to school that day. And
I don't remember that at all. I don't remember doing that.
And I don't know why we did it. That April Fool's Day is nothing really, you know. But come that April Fool's morning, bus would take us to school. But if we went the other way, we just did things together in that little town, you know.
Yeah.
And then we'd get home and Daddy'd say, "Did you go to school today?" "No." "Okay, turn around." You know, we'd get a nice little spanking. And you would think from one year to the other we would learn. Well, we didn't.
Every year? On
Every year while I was in the high school, April Fool's Day, I would not go to school.
I don't remember that. I don't remember not going to school, not getting away with that.
Nana, what did you guys do on April Fool's Day?
Yeah.
What did you do? Did you do anything?
What did you do?
On April Fool's Day? Mm-hmm. Oh, it was always a day where you literally played tricks on somebody or another.
Yeah,
that was
that
the idea. And I don't know, I don't remember all the tricks that were played, but it was just, you know, it was just fun things, you know. Just so that something, so that the person you were doing it on knew that somebody had done something.
Yeah,
that was the idea, yeah. But I can't remember if any of the particular things we did then. But it was kind of fun to do things like that. Usually, I had about two or three other good high school girls that we kind of run around together. And we were, you know, we would do things like that. Two of them, they were lived next door to me and lived across the street from me. So we always had something going on that when we could. That was Mary Lynn and Thalia were their names. And we just loved to... Thalia was an only child, and so her dad was always willing to do things, take us places. And I remember that every Friday night when we had a football game during the football season, he would take us to the football stadium, and we would watch the football game. And then if we were out of town, it was an out-of-town game, he would take us out of town. And that was always a great time to get to do something like that. But there were three girls of us that got to do that, and he was such a good dad to take us to do that. And I still remember them, what a nice couple they. Thalia was an only child, and that made a difference, I think. Yeah.
There were four girls that. Within a class, you know, maybe a year or so forward or backward. And what was so funny, when all four of us finally graduated, we all four went to Waco, and we all lived in a boarding house. And you couldn't have boys come in the front door. They could come as far as the step. Well, we waited till the old lady go to sleep, and then we let the boys in the room. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, they had to get out of there because that old lady got up, you know. And she caught us, she'd make us move. And we lived up there, the four of us, and then all four kind of got married within a year or two, you know. But there's only one person, and she lives right here in Fort Worth, that I've been going to see usually when I come to James's, and I've stayed. She lost her husband 2 years ago. But we're still good friends, and we talk about the old days, what we used to do, you know, when we get together. But like I said, when we moved, boy, even the boarding houses were strict. I mean, they could get as far, they could take as far as the steps, but then they had to go home.
Yeah.
And until the old lady go to sleep.
Yeah. So, Nana, we started this interview with your favorite memory of your holiday, Thanksgiving or Christmas, and I didn't hear your answer.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that I have an answer. I think what I really remember when I stopped to think about it is when I was very young, and we went to the farm, like my grandparents' farm, and almost always had either, we had Thanksgiving dinner there, and then we would also have Christmas dinner there. And I remember one time, maybe more than once probably, going with my grandfather, excuse me, down to the creek to get a cedar tree. They didn't have, you know, those kind of trees that you usually have for Christmas, you know. And we'd go down there, and he would cut that down and bring it back and set it up in the house. So we had a Christmas tree that way.
All right. Well, we have about 5 minutes left, and we missed the whole beginning part that we were supposed to do. We're going to introduce ourselves. So, my name is Thumpy. I'm married to Cody Sharma. Cody, can you say your name?
My name is Cody.
I am 26 years old.
I'm 27 years old. And this is Cody's two grandmothers from Dad's and Mom's side. Granny, could you say your name and your age?
My name is Wilma Schilling, and I'm 90 years old.
Yeah. And Nana, could you say yours?
Yeah, my name is Betty, and I am 87 years old. And my name was Bellows, B-E-L-L-O-W-S, my maiden name. And my grandparents on the farm were named Bellows. That was my dad's farm, his family, where he grew up. And we loved to go there for Christmas, and my grandmother was the best cook in the world. I can remember that. But of course, all the women, my grandmother had three boys, and then and one daughter. And when at Christmas or at Thanksgiving, we would always go there for the meals, and the women, it was the case, the women went in there to the kitchen and did the cooking and loved it because they had the best time visiting with each other and all that. The men would go outside usually and talk, you know, have a smoke or whatever it is
have
they want. And a beer.
And the women never have beers, Granny.
The men loved to do that.
I
and
really
the
don't.
The men had the men talk, and the women had the women talk in the kitchen, you know.
They never were together. I mean, the men were always on one side and the women on the other side.
Oh, my parents in India are still like that.
And it was a matter also in ours that first of all, the men were served first for anything like a Thanksgiving.
Oh, yes.
And the women, of course, served and cooked it and served it. And the men got to eat first, mm-hmm. and then the children got to eat. And after that was done, then the women got to eat. And that was fine because the women just loved to get together and do all their talking and catching up on what they hadn't been able to catch up on in the cooking. They can now catch up in the eating.
We had a priest that would go to someone's house every Sunday to different houses. When he come to our house, he and Mom and Daddy and the elders would eat, and us kids would have to eat what was left over. And we hated that priest worse than anything in the world. Because he got to eat, and got to eat the scraps, as we used to call it. I'll never forget
that. You got the scraps.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you both.
You're welcome, sweetie. We love you both.
We love
you too, guys.
And when your grandchildren listen to that, you tell them, on this day, you had two old women here.
On Thanksgiving, they told us their stories.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, those they were good times. So, you know, they were, I'm thinking about times in the 30s, and for me, and I think it was essentially for you too, that all the good things in the 30s, even though it was in the depths of the
depression.
It was really a hard time for a lot of people, but we were okay. We never had any, and that was the way with most people who lived on the farm. They had their own house, and so they didn't have to pay rent somewhere. And they had their own cows there. They got their own milk. Mm-hmm. They had their own chickens. They got their eggs, and you know, and then they'd kill a chicken on Sunday for Sunday lunch. That was usually the best thing. Fried chicken on Sunday for Sunday. Did you do that on
your? Oh yeah, we did that, and we had my brother and I had to kill the chicken.
Oh,
and so here he come. One of us used the axe, and one of them held the chicken like this. so you would hit the chicken on the neck, cut its head off, you know. That's a wonder that my brother and I didn't kill each other with that axe, because if we'd have missed, you know.
I never had to do that.
Oh,
my,
I did.
My
did.
Grandfather was the one that killed the chicken. He killed the chicken. And then, of course, then, you know, you have to take all the feathers off. And it's a job.
Oh, yeah, it's a very big job.
It's a big job.
One more little thing about it y'all need to know. We had an outhouse, which we called Two Holder. Mm-hmm.
Two holders.
And Christmas time, Christmas time, my brother would get firecrackers.
Oh.
And wait till somebody go in that